Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Today we are going to be wrapping up a message that we began last time, dealing with the subject of this virus that we see across America. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, look at the hard numbers. Look at the statistics. Folks, we see a lot of could'os, should'os, would'os, maybes. We think, we see a lot of theorizations out there. Be able to differentiate factual statements in the media and from the CDC from theories that are presented. And also take note of how many mistakes have been made in the counting. And take note of all of the over-reporting and errors and all of the flip-flopping on masks or no masks or hand-washing this or no hand-washing, whatever. It's been more confusion than any other time in my 57 years of life. And the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, COVID-19 is a legitimate virus. And to a certain section of the populace, it can, in fact, be fatal, just like many viruses can be. The truth of the matter is this has now been unleashed on us. We are going to have to learn to live with it, just like Sweden has, just like South Dakota has, just like we are and will be learning to live with it. We can't stay in our homes forever. We can't wear masks forever. We can't be afraid forever. As a matter of fact, Christians shouldn't be afraid. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Folks, I hope that you enjoy this most revealing message that my dear friend and co-pastor, Dan Fisher, is preaching, and we're presenting here on the radio, Exploring the Word. Today is part two of the sermon titled, Is COVID-19 the Wrath of God?
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word.
That would be the Tampa Bay city officials who had deemed churches non-essential. Now, I want you to listen to what the state of Florida's attorney said. Andrew Warren, I think it's unfortunate that the pastor here is hiding behind the First Amendment. I thought that's what the framers intended. I thought we were supposed to hide behind the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Third Amendment and the Fourth, all the way through to all 10 of them. I thought that's why they were written. It's unfortunate he's hiding behind the First Amendment. Well, that happens to be the amendment, Mr. Attorney, that guarantees freedom of religion and speech. And by the way, I don't have time to go into it. They'd taken all kinds of precautions. How about stuff like this? This is in North Carolina. A group of people who gathered in Raleigh, North Carolina just a few weeks ago on April the 14th to have a peaceful, and it was totally peaceful, a peaceful protest to address their government for redress of grievances. Does that sound vaguely familiar to anybody? In a peaceful protest, they were arrested by the Raleigh, North Carolina Police Department. And I want you to listen to what the Raleigh Police Department released as their thinking. And I quote, protesting is a non-essential activity. Tell that to Sam Adams and the Sons of Liberty. Tell that to the tank man in Tiananmen Square who stood up to that line of tanks whose picture is burned into history. Say that to the countless millions who have said no to tyrants. That's non-essential? Friends, that is essential for liberty. On April the 12th, churchgoers in Greenville, Mississippi, I've actually done the Black Robe presentation, Pam and I, in that town. Members of the Temple Baptist Church were participating in a drive-in worship service where they stayed in their cars. But that service was broken up or busted up, as the article said, by uniformed police officers, 8 of them, who started handing out $500 fines to each person who was there. They're in their cars. Now, the interesting thing is the mayor of Mississippi had labeled churches as essential, but the mayor of Greenville had not. And he decided that church services were not essential, and he was going to fine Christians for going to church. Now, there was such blowback, as you can see at the bottom of the article, that he at least rescinded the fines. Well, wasn't that nice of him? Guys, I'm telling you why this has been happening. Tyranny. Now, I believe coronavirus is real. And I believe that we have to be very serious about it. And if people have certain health issues, then we need to do everything that we can do to protect them. But you don't protect the sick or the weak by locking up all of the healthy and the strong. Amen. It's the exact opposite. So I believe with all of my heart that this is tyranny. Now, our governor asked us if we would work with him and cooperate. And not knowing early on what this was, we didn't have the advantage of all of these numbers now. Paul and I said, well, what do? We have a lot of senior adults in our church. We obviously don't want to expose them unnecessarily. We want to work with our governor. He didn't demand that we close. He asked if we would work with him. We had a couple of conference calls with him and his office. And he told us, he said, as long as I'm the governor of Oklahoma, no pastor is ever going to get arrested for having a church service. But finally, Paul and I were able to, like you, get enough of the information. He said, enough of this already. What if our ancestors had not gone to church over the stuff they faced? My great-grandmother Bailey, my mother's grandmother, during the Spanish flu outbreak, went to the cemetery to bury one of her children and told my mother all the years when she was growing up as a kid, she said, and honey, I didn't know if on my way back home I wouldn't find another one of my kids dead. She actually did. She lost 2 of her children to the Spanish flu epidemic. But I don't recall her ever talking about just locking up in her house and not sticking her head out for 2.5 or 3 months. What if our ancestors, what if Jonas Clark and his men and all of those of the War of Independence generation, what if every time some new illness had come through, they just threw in the towel and quit? What if Washington had shut down the Continental Army when they were all sick and dying in Valley Forge? No, they lived to fight that next spring, and thank God they did. So, this is not the wrath of God. This is an illness that the politically correct idiots have been able to take control of, and with the news media have, I believe, done their dead level best to get Trump out of office. I'm convinced that that's what this is about. I'm convinced about it. Now, not the virus. It's real enough. But I believe the way we've handled it and what's going on now is nothing more than an attempt to tyrannize liberty-loving individuals and to drive the church underground. I'm convinced of it. With all of my soul, I'm convinced of it. Well, that's not the wrath of God. That's the stupidity of man. And to be honest with you guys, if they succeed, then we're to blame. We have no one to blame but ourselves. We're just stupid as they are. It is time for the church and honest, decent people to stand up and say, no, you're not going to fine me for going to church. You can throw me in jail if you want, but I'll just preach in there. No, 1,000 times. I don't want coronavirus. You don't want it. But I'm not going to stop living and obeying God because I'm afraid I might get a serious kind of flu. So what does the wrath of God look like? Well, very quickly, let me run through this. It looks like that. I've been covering that in my class. I don't have time to read these passages, but in Genesis 7, it tells us that when God brought that flood, he destroyed life on the whole planet. Notice at the very bottom, only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. The whole world was wiped out. That's what the wrath of God looks like. The wrath of God looks like that. In fact, in Genesis 19, 24 and 25, then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, not just the cities, the region, all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. It's scorched earth policy, friends. That's what the wrath of God looks like. You better hope that's not what COVID-19 is going to become, because that's the wrath of God. What does the wrath of God look like? It looks like that. Exodus 15:7, and in the greatness of your excellence, Moses and the children of Israel celebrated after the Egyptian army had been drowned. You have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. That's what the wrath of God looks like. The wrath of God looks like this. A contentious man by the name of Korah, you know his story, kept antagonizing and rebelling and resisting Moses' leadership. And finally God said, "I've had enough." And in Numbers 26:10, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah when that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. I'll bet that's an understatement. That's what the wrath of God looks like. In the future, this is what the wrath of God looks like. When John was seeing it in the book of the Revelation, he wrote that those who experience the wrath of God someday will say to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" That's what the wrath of God looks like. Don't call COVID-19 the wrath of God. That is not what that is. That is no more the wrath of God than the common cold. Now, it is the consequence of Adam's sin. We live on a broken planet and bad stuff happens, but that's not the wrath of God. Now, does God need to judge America? Yes! And it's not because of the pagans, it's because of the church. I just hope he gives us mercy and some grace. So then the second question, if we know what the wrath of God looks like, is the God of love also then a God of wrath? I can just hear the millennials. I can't believe that. I can't believe he'd say that. God is love. Yes, he is. He loves righteousness. And the Bible says, for instance, in passages like Proverbs 6, he hates wickedness. You can't be righteous, you can't be good if you like bad stuff. What do we think of a judge that's crooked? We want to run him out on a rail. Well, what would we think of the judge of all time and creation if he was crooked? I don't want God to call bad good. I don't want God to call evil righteousness. Do you? I want a fair eternal judge. Now, I need more than fairness. I need mercy. I need grace, but I want a God who is righteous and shows his love by hating what is bad. You're the same. You love good, but you hate bad, and you should. I love people, and I love it when people come to my house, except for Paul. But when everybody else comes to my house, I love it, and I'll open the door and say, "Come in, stay out of the refrigerator, Paul. But anyway, come on in." But when somebody's trying to kick my door down and I believe they mean me or my family harm, you know what they're going to meet? They're going to meet Mr. 44 Magnum is what they're going to meet. I hate that kind of activity. Well, would I want a God who loves evil with no wrath? So just very quickly, a plethora of verses. Psalm 21:8-9. The psalmist says, "Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them." You got to read the whole Bible, not just the parts you want to like. It's all God's word, cover to cover. What we call plenary inspiration from Genesis, or as on O Brother, Where Art Thou? From Genesis to Revelations. Puts that S on Revelation. It's all God's word. Revelation 19:15. Notice, it's not just that God will bring his wrath, but notice who does it. It's Jesus. Revelation 19:15. Now out of his mouth, whose mouth? Jesus. The Lamb slain at the cross. Well, that was the first time. See, the first time he came, he bowed before Pilate. Second time he comes, friends, Pilate bows before him. That's the difference. So listen to what it says. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So who's going to experience the wrath of God? Well, the Bible's very clear about it. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That sounds kind of like the COVID reporting going on right now to me. Ephesians 5:6, let no one deceive you with empty words, Paul says, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Colossians 3:6, because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. But it's not just the disobedient, because ultimately we are all born disobedient, crossways with God. Listen to what Jesus said in John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, I'm convinced we often read over scriptures and we don't get it. Do you have any fathom of what it means that the wrath of God abides on you? Remember, we've seen what the wrath of God looks like. Can you imagine a person who's a good person as far as trying to do the right thing and try to treat people right, but they don't know Christ? Jesus says the wrath of God is abiding on them, not coming to them someday. It is already abiding on them. In Romans 2:5, Paul says this, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Not only does the wrath of God abide on them, but they're saving more up. Think about that. Adrian Rogers used to have a perfect way of picturing this. He said, it's kind of like God's mercy is a dam. And the water that's it's holding back is the wrath of God. And as that dam remains there, the water builds higher and higher levels. And the higher the level of the water, the stronger force that pushes against that dam of mercy. And Adrian said, if you do not come to Christ and experience the grace of God, one day that dam of God's mercy will split right down the middle, and the wrath of God that you have saved up yourself will overwhelm you. Think of that. We don't like to think about this in this age, but friends, this is the Word of God. Now, God did so love the world, He sent Jesus to stand in between us and the wrath of God. But without Him, my friends, we're shot. So then, that's who the wrath of God falls on. That's what the wrath of God looks like. So what can we do? Who can escape the wrath of God? If it falls on everybody who's wicked, and we're all ultimately wicked according to Scripture, there's none righteous. No, not one. We're all on a fix, aren't we? Well, here's where it begins to not only bring hope to those who will come to Christ, but it begins to point in a doctrinal direction toward our belief in end times that I'll close with here shortly. In Ephesians 2:3, Paul said, among also... He's talking about believers, he himself and others at Ephesus, but that would be just as true of Paul and believers at Edmund. We all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh before Christ, B.C., fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Paul says, look, I'm no special person. I used to have the wrath of God abiding on me. And I was not only abiding with God's wrath, I was saving up extra wrath. As if His wrath abiding on me wasn't enough. We used to be, he says. Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Notice that wonderful truth. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, just like the ark of Noah was sealed with pitch. And the wrath of God's floodwaters could not get to Noah any more than the wrath of God can get to you. Because of that blood of Jesus who has sealed you within and without. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Paul said, "We are to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Then one last verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now here's the thing. The wrath of God, once it falls, is unmistakable. I don't have time to go any further, but if you've ever read through the book of the Revelation, you know what that looks like. Nobody there is wondering, could this be the wrath of God, just maybe? A third of the fresh water just went poison? Locusts the size of a Volkswagen Beetle are flying around? I mean, what? Could this be? See, if COVID-19 were the wrath of God, we wouldn't be wondering, is this the wrath of God? This is the wrath of men, is what COVID-19 is. At least our response to it. Now then, how does this segue into what Paul has begun eschatologically? And of course, remember, eschatology is just the study of end times. And although I realize that we debate it back and forth, and there are many different orthodox views, I've kind of slightly given you mine. I'm a dispensationalist. I believe that the rapture of the church will come before the Great Tribulation. Now here's how I want to set this up for next week. We've been accused of believing that God's going to rapture the church because we're all a bunch of sissy, squeamish Christians who believe that we're too good to suffer and that somehow we just want to cash in our ticket and get on God's eternal cruise ship and go take an all-expenses-paid cruise while the world burns in judgment. And that the only reason we believe in the rapture of the church is you folks are just escapists, all you are. Well, that's insulting, really, because I'm able to read like they are. And I can read the history of Christians, starting with the earliest persecutions. Like, I can see Stephen with the rocks slamming into him while he continues to reach out as best he can as the rocks continue to hit him. And finally, when he's about to go, he looks up into the heavens. And it's the only time the Bible says this other than the return of Christ. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. It's like Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, sees Stephen. And he stands. Can you imagine all of heaven? And Jesus stands there as Stephen is stoned to death. Now, I don't understand how it works out. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches, he gets 3,000 souls. Stephen preaches, he gets 3,000 stones. I don't know how that figures out in God's economy, but I do know this. God's people have always suffered for the truth, and we may in our lifetime. I'm not an escapist. I don't believe in the rapture of the church because I'm wanting to escape some hardship I'd just not soon experience any. I'm kind of allergic to pain myself. I don't know about you. But in the end, my friends, the Bible clearly teaches that whatever you believe the Great Tribulation is, it is the wrath of God. The Bible is clear. Book of Revelation is explicitly clear. It is the wrath of God. And if you believe that was all just the judgment of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Man, did God go to a great amount of trouble catching up a guy named John and showing him all this stuff if it's just the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Now, this is not sufficient, I know it. But here's one of the reasons I believe that the church will not go through the Great Tribulation. It's because he has not appointed us to wrath. Discipline, yeah. Judgment, unfortunately, maybe, but not wrath. You are not destined for the wrath of God unless you're outside of Christ. And if Noah's ark had not been sealed with pitch, you know what would have been all over Noah? Water! And lots of it. God told him very specifically in Genesis chapter 6, you pitch that thing within and without, seal it, because these waters of wrath are going to rock this old world. Well, Peter says, that just like the waters of wrath rocked that previous world and it perished, the wrath of God will once again rock this old world, only this time by fire. And the Lord is saying to you, you better get you some pitch. But you know what the pitch is? Those of you who attend my class, or maybe Paul has taught this before, the Hebrew word translated pitch in Genesis 6 is the very same Hebrew word translated atonement later on in the Old Testament. The atonement is what the blood of the sacrifice did for the sinning Jews or anybody else who would believe. And ultimately, Jesus makes the great atonement. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, could have said, look, there's the creator of the universe. That would have been correct. He could have said, look, second person of the Trinity. That would have been correct. Look, the divine Son of God. That would have been correct. But what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He is the atonement. If you don't have that atonement, my friends, the wrath of God can reach you. This is why we teach the rapture of the church. It's because God has a plan. The book of Daniel, Paul began to lay it out last week, lays out before Daniel the plan. And the plan those last 7 years is to bring Israel back into the fold. That's what that's all about. We're not Israel. Now, spiritually, we are inheritors of the promise given to Abraham, but I'm not a direct descendant of Abraham. So this is why. COVID-19 is not the wrath of God. Friend, you better make sure that you are covered by the blood of Jesus and the wrath of God cannot get to you. If you're not, you need to be. Don't believe the lies you're being told about all this nonsense. This is not the wrath of God. This is the stupidity and fallenness of man. Don't let them make you fearful. Life is a risk. Take it. Life is a risk. Take it. And live out your life for Jesus Christ.
We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.